Hello, everyone, and welcome to Sunday Night Bible Fellowship. It's always good to have you with us as we continue to study God's Word. We are in the book of Galatians, and today we will be taking a look at Galatians chapter 5, if you want to turn in your Bibles, or just follow along on the screen. Galatians chapter 5, we'll be looking at verses 16 through 19. I put as a title on this particular passage of Scripture, How Do You Live the Christian Life? One step at a time. So let's get right into it. Galatians chapter 5, we're looking at verses 16 through 19, perhaps a familiar passage of Scripture that you have certainly seen before. Verse 16 says, But I say, walk in the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. So Paul here gives the key to living the Christian life. That's why this is really a very important passage of Scripture and a message for you to listen to understand how is the Christian life lived. So it says here in verse 16, But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. The believer's desire will be for the Spirit's control and not the flesh's desire. What you desire and what you want in your Christian life is to be walking in sync with the Holy Spirit. And when you do that, you will not be carrying out the desires of your flesh. You know, there is so much confusion as to how to live the Christian life. You'll hear some people say, I've heard some people say, you need to hang on to God. You need to hang on to God. Other people will say, no, you need to let go and let God. Let go and let God. And still another person will come along and they'll say, oh, you need to pray your way through. Pray your way through. Well, the confusion comes. You don't know whether to hang on to God, to let go and let God, or to pray your way through. Do I hang on? Do I let go? Do I pray my way through? Or there are those who take a mystical approach based on having some kind of an experience. So someone will come along and say, you know what you need, brother? You need a second blessing. You need the second blessing. Or someone will come along and say, you need to be slain in the Spirit, or you need to speak in tongues. So they've got all kinds of formulas and ways for you to have an experience which will propel you into a spiritual stratosphere, and everything will be wonderful and bliss, and you'll have a lot of money, and all your needs will be taken care of, and things will just be great. Well, that's not what the Scripture tells us. It tells us that we are to walk by the Spirit. Actually, living the Christian life is quite simple, as seen in our text that we're looking at today. It's not complicated, not difficult to understand. It's just putting a few things together, and you understand how you live the Christian life. Now, there are three ways to live the Christian life. You can live it under the law. That's called legalism. And now we're talking about level two legalism. Level one is someone who is an unbeliever who is trying to work their way to heaven. They're trying to follow the law, all the rituals, all of the regulations, customs, and so on. They're trying to follow all of that in order to obtain salvation. Well, once you get over that hump and once you have salvation, the battle is not done yet, because there are those who will teach that what you need to do is you need to follow the rules. You need to obey the law. Here are our rules. Here are our dirty dozen. Here are the things that we feel, if you follow these things, you will be spiritual. So you can live your life under the law, and that's called legalism. Or you can live your life, as we saw last week, without the law, and that's what's called antinomianism. Antinomianism means apart from the law, without the law. So these are the people, as we said last week, who will say, I'm free in Christ. I can do whatever I want. Doesn't matter. Grace will cover it. And so they take license in doing whatever they want to do. And they just totally forget about the law. They want no restraints, nothing which will impede all that they want to do. And these are the people that go out then, as we said last week, and they'll become slaves to the world and the world system. Legalism is in bondage and in slavery to the law. Antinomianism is just the opposite. There's no law involved. So they go out, they live it up in the world, and they find out that they end up with being bound or being slaves of the world itself. So you can either be under legalism or you can be under antinomianism. Or you can live your life with the author of the law, who is the Holy Spirit. And this is the life of dependency. You are dependent upon Him. An example of this would be, let's say, a dog. You can have a dog, you can own a dog as a pet, and whenever you open the door and you're going to go out, you put him on a leash. And you hang on to that leash, and that dog wants to go one way or the other, and you pull on the leash. And he fights against the leash, he doesn't like the leash, he does not like to obey you, he wants to go off and do his own thing. That's legalism. That's an example of legalism. Or you can have, number two, you can let him run wild, totally go free, open the door, he takes off, whatever. He does whatever he wants out there, does not matter. In all likelihood, he's going to end up in the dog pound, and he's going to be bound because he ran free. There was no restraints on him. He did whatever he wanted to do. Or you can have number three, as we said up above, with the author of the law, the Holy Spirit, you can have a dog, number three, with no leash, but who does not run wild. He obeys the voice of his master because of his love for him and depends on him for guidance and direction, and so stays by his side. And this is dependency. He's dependent upon his master, stays by his side, he loves his master, wants to obey his master. It all comes from within him. So there is an example of three different dogs that really exemplify legalism, antinomianism, and dependency. Okay, the next slide is a slide we had on last week, just showing the difference between the two. Again, you have freedom in Christ, right down the middle. That's where we want to be. You can veer off a path. You can go into legalism. You become slaves of the law. Or you can veer off the opposite direction into antinomianism, and you become slaves of the world. Either way, you're not going to experience freedom in Christ. That comes because of what Christ has done and the Holy Spirit who is living within you. On either side of that, you will be in bondage, you will be slaves. I got a series of illustrations here, diagrams, just to show you a little bit what we're talking about, so you really get this and understand this. In legalism, you have a guy here on the left, he's got a whip, and he's got all of these four individuals all in chains. They are all in bondage. The guy with the whip stands for the law and its rules and its regulations that you must follow. So living under the law puts you in bondage. You are, the problem is, in that system, you're going nowhere. You're not accomplishing anything. Your life is not being transformed, whatever. You're just simply obeying what the law says out of duty. So there is no progress. If you are in legalism, there's no progress in your Christian life. You are at a standstill. Why? Well, because the law, all the rules and all the regulations, they are unable, they are powerless to transform you. There's only one person that can transform you, and that's the Holy Spirit. So as a result, you just live not only in bondage, but you live with guilt and a sense of failure because you can't keep yourself up with the law. and obeying the law. Next slide is antinomianism, which we're talking about. And this guy on the left with the whip stands for the world with its addictions. So just because you go the other way from legalism and you go out and do whatever you want, guess what? You're going to fall right into the world of addictions, whatever it might be, materialism, alcohol addiction, drugs, anything and everything can become an idol that you are addicted to. And so you gain nothing by going in that direction. So living with freedom to do what you want to do puts you in bondage. Again, you're going nowhere. There's nothing to produce a transformed life within you. There is no progress in the Christian life. You live with guilt and a sense of failure because you just are not able to produce a life that in actuality is pleasing to God. So you go out, you sin, you're in bondage, and you live with that guilt and that sense of failure. All right, let's go to the third way to live, and that is to walk in the Spirit. It's interesting all the times that it talks about, for instance, in the New Testament, and it uses the term walk, and it uses that word because that's very familiar to the people of the first century. You have to realize they did not have cars and motorcycles and all different kinds of modes of transportation motorized that would get them around. They spent the bulk of their time, unless they were very, very rich, had chariots or whatever to drive around in. At most, they might have a donkey. They might have something that would carry them, but pretty much they walked wherever they went, nearby towns, so on and so forth. But it was all done by walking. So when the New Testament picks up that term and writes it, people know exactly what we're talking about. So the Bible talks the New Testament, it says, walk in humility. It says, walk in purity, walk in contentment, walk in faith, walk in good works, walk differently than the world, walk separated from sin, walk in love, walk in light, walk in wisdom, walk in truth. So over and over again in the New Testament is telling us how we are to walk. Now, the word that's used here for walk and the word which we're looking at here in verse 16 when it says walk in the Spirit is the Greek word peripateo, and it is a word which means to take small, deliberate steps forward. So what this is implying, this is a very, very important word for you to understand and apply in your life. It's not a difficult word. It's not hard to understand. We understand what walking is. But understand, by using that term, we are not talking about a 100-yard dash. We're not talking about a sprint where you go as fast as you can possibly go. What we're talking about here is a 26-mile marathon. We're talking about long range here. So the believer's life, using this term, peripateo, to walk, the believer's life is a slow and methodical pace. And it is, listen, one step at a time. So you got the little man here, he's walking, and every one of those dashes represent a step that he is going to take. And so it is step after step after step after step. Now, some days you may advance faster than other days. Maybe some days in your Christian life, in your progress towards maturity in Christ, maybe some of those days you take two or three steps. So it may be faster than other days. On the other hand, some days you may fall or go backwards or stand still. As someone has said, a believer may slip and fall on the deck, for instance, of a ship, but he will never go overboard. And that's the true sign of a believer. You can fall, You can slip in your walk, but you won't go overboard. The believer will not do that. But there is room within your Christian walk for you to slip and fall. But if you're a true believer, you'll pick yourself back up again and you will keep on moving. When you fall, you pick yourself up and you keep moving forward. Therefore, the Christian life is a series of small steps in the same direction over a long period of time. Let me repeat that. The Christian life is a series of small steps in the same direction over a long period of time. But these are small steps that you take. Some people want to come along, like for instance, the mystics. They want you to have some kind of a mystical experience, and that experience, they say, is going to project you far, far ahead. You're going to take many steps forward when you have an experience. That's not the way the Bible presents it. The Bible says, John 8:32, you shall know the truth, and the truth will give you an experience. The truth will set you free. Okay, so we walk by the truth. And that truth, when we apply that to our lives, it will give us a good biblical spiritual experience. God is not against you having experiences, they just have to be based on truth. And there's a lot out there that's not based on the truth of God's word. So walking, it's important for us to understand that this is the way the Christian life is lived. It's lived with small steps moving forward. You may look at your life and you may say, boy, it just doesn't seem like I'm doing a whole lot. But if you take a look at it, you might be able to say, you know, this week I didn't do this sin as much as I did last week. Or this year, this past year, I can see that I've made some progress. Not necessarily huge progress, but nevertheless, I did take some steps forward in my Christian life. And that's how we assess how we're doing in the Christian life. Are we making progress? Have we taken a few more steps forward than where we were, let's say, a week ago, a month ago, a year ago, whatever? So the Bible not only says here to walk in the Spirit, and we emphasize walk, but also we want to emphasize where we're walking in, and we're walking in the Spirit. So, I'm not walking this by myself. God has now given to me His Holy Spirit to live within me, to indwell me. So here's the good news. You do not have to try to live the Christian life on your own. And boy, that is so important to understand. There are so many Christians that are struggling to live the Christian life on their own. And I think I've told you before about one of the things that woke me up in my Christian life at age 21 was when I read an article that was in Collegiate Challenge magazine put out by Campus Crusade for Christ. And the title of the article was, "But I Can't Live the Life." And the whole article just talks about walking in the Spirit, being controlled with the Spirit, being led by the Spirit. And it's the Spirit that lives the life of Christ in and through you. And that is so important to understand because that's where the power to live the Christian life is going to come from. It's not going to be yours on your own. So you have a partner, and that partner is the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, when I go away, I'm going to send the Comforter, the partner, the one to be with you, the Paraclete, and He will be the one that'll be with you, and He'll do all of these ministries in your life, which will help you to move towards maturity in Christ. So the Holy Spirit resides within you to produce a holy life, a Christ-like life. That's why he's there. That's why he's called the Holy Spirit, because he is living within you to produce a holy life. So, the Holy Spirit provides two things. Number one, he provides direction. The Holy Spirit inspired the Word of God, and it is now the tool he uses to guide and direct the believer. And I cannot emphasize that enough. You can't just say to somebody, well, the key to the Christian life is walk in the Spirit, so go ahead and do that. And the person will go away and say, I have no idea what he was talking about. I have no idea how to do that, how to walk in the Spirit. Or someone will come along and say, yep, what you need to do, you need to be filled with the Spirit. And people will go away from that and they'll say, filled with the Spirit. What does that mean? Does that mean I've only, at the time of salvation, maybe I only got about half of the Spirit? And when I ask for him to fill me, he kind of pours a little bit more of the Holy Spirit into me? And that someday, hopefully, I'll have the entire Holy Spirit? No. The Holy Spirit came to reside within you. The entire person of the Holy Spirit is residing within you. What's important to understand is that the Holy Spirit inspired the Word of God, and it is the tool, listen, that he is going to use to bring you to maturity in Christ. It is the tool he's going to use to enable you to walk the Christian life, to walk in Christ, to do all these walks that we just talked about found in the New Testament. He's producing that within you, but he's going to do it by the use of the Word of God. And that's where this all becomes very practical and where you can understand how you live the Christian life. You don't live it by just saying to the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, fill me. And I think sometimes we get the idea that the Holy Spirit is up there and he's got a wand in his hand. And when we pray that prayer, fill me with your Spirit, he comes down, taps us on the top of the head, and says, now you're filled. And then in some way, we lose the filling, and so we pray again, fill me with your Spirit, and he comes with his wand and taps us on the head, and we're suddenly, instantly filled. That's not what that means. When it's talking about in Ephesians 5:18, do not get drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit, he's saying that in Ephesians. If you look at a parallel passage to Ephesians, you'll find it in Colossians, and you'll find it in Colossians 3:16. In both passages, it goes on after it talks about the filling of the Spirit and what he says in verse 16 of Colossians, and it all equals the same thing. He uses the same language. He says that you'll be giving thanks, that you will be worshiping God with psalms and hymns, spiritual songs. You'll be giving thanks to God. It all produces the same thing. Well, what's the key in Colossians 3:16? It doesn't say be filled with the Spirit. It says what? It says, let the word of Christ richly dwell within you. So in Ephesians, it says, be filled with the Spirit. Filled meaning controlled. Be controlled with the Spirit. Colossians, parallel passage, says, let the Word of Christ indwell you. Both of those things, the Spirit of God in control, the Word of Christ abiding within you, they produce exactly the same results. A theorem in geometry is things which equal the same things equal each other. So in other words, to be filled with the Spirit is to allow the Word of Christ to richly dwell within you. To allow the Word of Christ to richly dwell in you is to be filled or controlled with the Holy Spirit. You cannot separate the two. If you have the Word of God without the Spirit of God, it'll end up in legalism. If you have the Spirit of God without the Word of God, it will end up in fanaticism. If you have the Word of God plus the Spirit of God, it will equal victorious Christian living. So it's important to understand that the Holy Spirit has nothing to say apart from the Word of God. The Holy Spirit is not going to come to you and verbally talk to you each day and say, now do this, and oh, do this today, and whatever. No, He's going to speak to you through His Word. So, if you do not study the Word, memorize the Word, apply the Word, seek out its meaning, and so on, the Holy Spirit has nothing to say. He's mute. He is mute at that point. He has nothing that He is going to convey to you or communicate to you. He has done that through His Word. He's gone to the effort of put together 66 books, inspired the writers. It's all there. Our obligation that we have is to study it, and then to apply it. And He helps us do that as we walk through life with Him. So, the first thing He provides is direction. The second thing that He provides is power. Okay, so the Holy Spirit provides the power to obey the Word and live the Christian life. So He provides the direction. What am I to do? What am I to obey? Which way do I go when I've got a couple of different things facing me? One may be a temptation, whatever. How is He going to control me? He's going to control me through the Word of God. So I put that Word into my heart so that He may use it when I come to a time of temptation or trial or problem in my life. So note, here are the two resources for living the Christian life: the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. No more and no less. We don't need to add anything more onto that. Those two things are totally sufficient for you to live a Christian life and never sin again. Do you realize that? You never have to sin again. Jesus told the woman caught in adultery, go and sin no more. All the resources are there. Everything you need for the Christian life is there in the Spirit and in the Word. And no less than that. We don't want to take anything away from those. Both of them are needed. They are the resources for our Christian living. You have the freedom to obey the Word, not because you have to, but because you want to. And that's the difference between, as we said last week, between legalism and living in freedom in Christ. Freedom in Christ, you obey Christ because you want to. Legalism, you do it because you have to. Very big difference. So, another important thing I want to point out, next slide, when we talk about walk in the Spirit, and that is when you first start to walk in the Spirit as a baby Christian, and you have not grown and matured, you sin more at that point, and you hate it less. Your distaste for sin isn't as great as it will become as you grow in your relationship with Christ and as you allow the Holy Spirit to work in your mind, in your heart, in your life. As you walk and walk and year after year and study and grow and apply God's Word to your life, you will find yourself in the position where you will sin less, but you will hate it more. A lot of times people say, well, doesn't it get a lot easier in the Christian life? I mean, you know, if you're not sinning as much or whatever. No, it does not, because the more you grow in the Christian life and mature, the more you hate sin, the more it bothers you. And so, though you may be sinning less, you hate it more. You'll see this in Paul. On the next slide, I've got Romans chapter 7, 15 to 25. Listen to Paul here. Now, this guy is probably the most mature saint that's ever walked the face of the earth. in New Testament times. If you go to the Old Testament, you got Job, but in New Testament times, you got Paul. And I mean, this guy was just a spiritual giant, right? Here's what he has to say about his life. For what I am doing, I do not understand. For I am not practicing what I would like to do, but I'm doing the very thing I hate. But if I do the very thing that I do not want to do, I agree with the law, confessing that the law is good. So in other words, I don't want to do those things. I'm agreeing with the law. They're wrong, and so on. But you know, I'm doing them. So now no longer am I the one doing it, but sin which dwells in me. So once you become a believer in Jesus Christ, he gives you a new divine nature. 2 Corinthians 5:17, old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new, right? Okay, so you have a new divine nature. That new divine nature wants to please Christ. It wants to obey the word. It wants to glorify God. But when you receive that nature, it does not eradicate the flesh in your life. And so you will always have the flesh with you, and the flesh will always want to try and dominate your life. Now, your bent will not be that way. If it still is that way, and you still want to sin as much as you ever have, and there's absolutely no difference, and you have no desire to please God or whatever, then you're not a Christian. Because when you become a Christian, you are given a new divine nature. Old things pass away. Behold, all things have become new, meaning you've got new desires, new ways that you want to please God, so on and so forth. All right. So now, no longer am I the one doing it, but sin which dwells in me, the flesh. Verse 18, for I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is in my flesh. For the willing is present in me, but the doing of the good is not. For the good that I want to do, I do not do, but I practice the very evil that I do not want. But if I'm doing the very thing I do not want, I am no longer the one doing it, but sin which dwells in me. I find then the principle that evil is present in me, the one who wants to do good. For I joyfully concur with the law of God in the inner man. But I see a different law in the members of my body, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin, which is my members. Wretched man that I am. Do you see Paul's agony here over sin in his life? That is a sign of a mature Christian. That in spite of the fact that he has grown, he has become more sensitive to the sin in his life, and his hatred has grown for that sin. And he says, I am wretched. Who will set me free from the body of this death? Verse 25, thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. And when will that happen? The minute that he is glorified. When he died, he was set free from the flesh that he was carrying around that was at war within him and at times causing him to do things he did not want to do. He knew they were wrong, but he yielded to him. Someday, when all of us are in heaven, when we receive our glorified bodies, which are incapable of sinning, we will rejoice that we have been freed from our old sin nature, from our flesh, and all the residuals that are still in our flesh that still call us to sin, to commit sin. I heard a quote, actually, some years ago. It was by Joseph Stoll. Many of you know Joseph Stoll. Joseph Stoll is the former president of Moody Bible Institute. He was there, I think, until 2005. But I heard him say this one day. He said, some days, listen to this, some days I am just so sick of myself, end quote. You stop and think about that. That kind of a statement will only come to from someone who is a mature believer. Someone like a Paul. That's what Paul is saying in Romans 7. I don't want to do these things. I hate it. I hate the sin of my life. And that's what Joseph Stoll is saying here. He says, some days, he's saying, as I look at my life and I look at what I do and the sin that's still there, I am just so sick of myself. That is a true test. How sick are we of the sin in our lives? All right, verse 17. 16 tells us to walk in the Spirit. We will not carry out the desire of the flesh. Verse 17 tells us we got a war on our hands. We got a battle. For the flesh sets a desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things which you please. So the Spirit-controlled, Spirit-indwelt, Spirit-led life is a life of battles, a life of conflict, and constant struggle. Period. End of paragraph. That's just the way it is. And you will find nothing that will contradict that in Scripture. You will only find support for that. The flesh and the Spirit are at their core totally opposite. You see it here. The flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another. They cannot cooperate. They cannot form an alliance. They cannot compromise with each other. No such thing. Again, it's black and white. So when you come to Christ, you suddenly have a fight on your hands. You see, the unbeliever has no fight. He has an old sin nature. He lives by that nature. There is no conflict within him. He gives in to whatever that nature wants. No problem. Now, all of a sudden, into that life, you introduce the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit now comes to live within your life. And the old self needs to be put to death so that the new self, the new man, will reign supreme in your life. For the unbeliever, not a problem. And no believer escapes the conflict. No one can avoid the struggle between the flesh and the Spirit. No one gets a Christian life free from outward pressure and inward turmoil. It just doesn't happen. Again, that's a test. You have no conflict. You're not in any battle. You either are living a very carnal, fleshly life, or you're not a Christian. Because I'll grant you, you become a Christian, you have a desire to live for the Lord, you got yourself a battle on your hands. The battle between the flesh and the Spirit leaves the believer in a position where he has to make a choice between the two. Notice the end of the verse. So that you may not do the things that you please. I mean, this conflict that's going on within you, you're either going to obey one or the other. You're not going to be neutral. You either give in to the flesh and let it dominate you, or you give in to the Holy Spirit and let him control you. One or the other. And then verse 18, but if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. So what this is saying is, if you choose to walk by the Spirit, you will be led by the Spirit. So it's an automatic. If you choose to walk in the Spirit, you'll be led by the Spirit. And I want you to note here that being led by the Spirit is not a command. It does not say here, you need to allow the Holy Spirit to lead you. It does not say that. It just says that if you are led by the Spirit, if it is true, you are led by the Spirit, it's going to take place in your life. He'll lead. The Holy Spirit will lead. The question is, will we follow? See? And if we do, the law has no claims on us. Notice the end of the verse, you are not under the law. Okay? You follow the principle of the Holy Spirit in your life, leading you in your life. He'll lead you into all righteousness. You don't have to worry about the law, whether you're being good enough or anything like that. No, the Holy Spirit will make you good. Okay? That's his job. He comes into your life to transform you into Christ-likeness. Okay. Five applications here as we close out today. All right. Number one, don't make living the Christian life complicated. There are books, there are all kinds of stuff that's said about living the Christian life. I can't emphasize this enough. And I talk to people throughout the 54 years now that I've been teaching the Bible, and I've talked to people, and I find many people confused. They say, it's all a blur. I've been told so many things, and I read so many things, and one place says do this, another place says do that, and whatever. Listen, don't make it complicated. Galatians 5:16 is the key to living the Christian life. Walk in the Spirit. Walk by the Spirit. Walk with the Spirit. It's interesting that verse, when it says walk in the Spirit, the word in is not in there. It just says walk, and then it says Spirit. And Paul put that and said that in the dative form. So you could translate it one of three ways. You could say it's either in the Spirit, or it could be by the Spirit, or it could be with the Spirit. And I say it's all three. At the time of salvation, we have been placed in the Spirit, so we need to walk in the Spirit, in the sphere of the Spirit, which is walking according to the Word of God. It also means, and also can mean, and we would translate it, walk by the Spirit. It's the Spirit that gives us the power to live the Christian life. It's by Him that we can have victory in the Christian life. And then walk with the Spirit. Don't go ahead of Him. Don't tag along behind Him. Stay in step with Him, where He's leading you, where He wants you to go, what He wants you to do, as you are studying the Word, applying the Word, living the Word in your life, you'll be led by the Spirit, trust me. It's not complicated. Keep it simple, okay? Number two, the Christian life takes work and the sweat and dust of the battlefield. And you are in a battle, and you are the battlefield. And the flesh wants to control the battlefield, and the Spirit wants to control the battlefield. And like any battlefield, there is sweat and dust out there as the battle rages on. And it takes work. You need to read the Word. You need to study the Word. You need to memorize the Word. You need to apply the Word to your life. You need to yield to the Holy Spirit. You need to yield to Christ. You will automatically struggle. Struggle is just a part of the Christian life. And that struggle will be work, and it'll be difficult, and it'll be hard at times. And you'll struggle with the flesh, as the flesh wants to dominate and control you. And then you will turn around and you will surrender, and you will give it up. You will give up a decision. You will give up a temptation and not fall to the temptation. And so you will surrender to Christ, and you will need to fight. Paul got to the end of his life. He said, I have fought the good fight. Okay? That encompasses everything about Paul's life, but one of the things he had to fight was sin. And we all fight sin in our lives. And again, the Christian life is baby steps. You might have victory this week, and you might not sin as much in a particular area as you did last week, but then the next week, you might not be quite as victorious. I mean, it's just that roller coaster up and down. And hopefully the longer you live in your life, it starts to just be an upward climb and not so much the up and downs type of thing as you're gaining more and more victory in Him. But it's work. It takes work. You do not just sit back and say, well, I'll just let God. I'll just let go and let God. Well, what's He supposed to do? No, the Bible presents that you have an active part in the battle in your Christian life. Okay, number three, walking in the Spirit shows up in little things. Remember, we're talking about walking in the Spirit, taking little steps. We're doing it in the Spirit. We're doing it in conjunction with the Word of God. So, for instance, little details, little things that show up, that show that we're walking in the Spirit, like putting verses taped to a bathroom mirror or a dashboard or a refrigerator, listening to tapes, if you still have a tape player, whatever, or a CD player, or you're listening to good Bible teachers. Don't listen to just everything that comes your way. Not everything is profitable that is being spoken out there. You have to be discerning, and that comes through spiritual growth and your knowledge of the Word. Bible apps that you have, review of Bible notes, all of those things are indications of the fact that you want to walk in the Spirit. You want to be informed by the Word of God, that the Holy Spirit is speaking to you through His Word, and you're applying that to your life, and your life is changing and transforming, and you're taking these steps forward in your Christian life. So it's the little things that you're doing. They may seem small, but they're all evidences of the fact that you are indeed walking in the Spirit. Number four, you cannot apply what you do not know. I've said that over 50 years I've been teaching hundreds of times because it is so true. For some reason, we think that we can apply what we do not know. You cannot do that. You're only going to be able to apply what you do know, what you put into your heart. The more you read and study and understand the Word of God, the more of it you will be able to apply in your life. Don't think sitting back with a bag full of popcorn, watching every show on TV, or sitting there on the internet or whatever it might be, your phone and Facebook and Instagram and on, don't think that in any way, shape, or form is giving you anything to apply in your Christian life to make you more Christ-like, unless it's good, sound, biblical material that's coming forth from that particular media. Number five, and it's the question I referred to earlier, are you sinning less but hating it more? Are you sinning less but hating it more? Are you to that point in your Christian life where you find yourself so disgusted, like Joseph Stoll, that you look at yourself and you say, boy, there's some days I just hate myself. I just can't believe the sin in my life, and that I would succumb to that I would yield to that temptation. I hate it. Paul hated it. Joseph Stoll hated it. You and I both should hate it. We should hate any sin that's in our lives. Are we becoming more sensitive to it? That's a gauge as to how much we are maturing in our Christian life. Okay, let's close there today. Let's close in prayer. Father, we're thankful for this really, really important passage of Scripture, which just tells us, Paul tells us, so very plain how to live the Christian life. And it's done by walking in your Spirit. The Holy Spirit was given to us. He resides within us. He's there. He's everything we need in order to live the Christian life. He provides the power, the direction, everything. What more can we ask for? There is no more. We simply need to take what we have, the resources that we have, make use of them, apply them, use them in our lives daily. We're thankful for the fact that the Christian life is small steps. You don't expect us to take big, giant, huge steps each day, but the Christian life is just a small step after small step, and the little victories after little victories after little victories. We're just thankful that that's the way it is, and that we do not need to get discouraged. We just need to totally depend on you, and do our part in giving the Holy Spirit raw material from your word that he can use to control us in our lives, to lead us in our lives, to help us as we walk, to direct us, to guide us, all these things. Lord, make us students of your word. For we pray this all in Jesus' name and for his sake alone. Amen.